a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over league leaders Stennis Muir, preview this weekend's trip to Hamilton to take on Clyde, and with the January window closing this week, we'll round up all of this month's business. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Biles, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Almost in a near-death experience in white work this morning.
Almost. A near-death experience? Oh, it's like you're going to have to enlighten me a wee bit on this
one. I nearly T-boned somebody coming out of the Cruden Bay turn-off at Longhaven.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was politely told on what I thought and then moved on. I mean, I say close. I could have been like a car lengths, half a car lengths away from him. I mean, if it had been weak, I probably would have ended up in the side of him. But he did that thing where he just waved and then moved on. Again.
I mean, I've frequently been in a car with you, so for you to politely tell somebody that they're in the wrong, I can only imagine the scenes at 20 to 8 in the morning.
If I say politely, obviously that's air quotes politely, tell them to move on and get out of my way. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, a great start to the Monday morning.
We're lucky we've got an episode, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you're lucky I'm here, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, if I had a wicks to miss... beating the team that said that's such a great run as well. That would have been just typical, wouldn't it?
It would sort of sum up our season a wee bit, would it?
Oh, yeah, exactly that. But here we are, almost the end of January already. Time is wearing on. We'll come on to the transfer window in a bit later on as well. Want to start with last week's Friday Live episode with Scott Ross. Thanks very much to him again for coming on. Great to have a chat with him. Genuinely could have gone on for another half an hour with him. He was such a great guy to talk to. Didn't get through all our notes. So that was really good. And the feedback's been great again on that. It is still available to watch if you want to watch it again, or if you haven't watched it yet, it's still on our Facebook page, so you can see it on there. But again, Martin, another great guest to have on the show.
Oh, absolutely. It's a sign of a good interview when we didn't get halfway through the notes that we got in or didn't get into different topics that we maybe wanted to. I think you mentioned that through the recording on the Friday as well. We could easily have gone on for another half hour at least. But yeah, we appreciate the guys' times that they give up on a Friday night to come and chat to us. Yeah, it was easy. We've also got things on as well. So yeah, really appreciate Scott giving up a part of his Friday.
And it's good of them, as you said, to do that, especially on a Friday night. Circumstances like Saham, for example, got a young family as well, like Marcel. So it's good that they're willing to sort of go out their way and date for us. Anything that sort of jumped out for you from him? Because I found him very relaxed, and you know, we could have, as I said, chatted for a lot longer, and he comes across really well.
Yeah, I think one of the things that sort of came through for me was, even when he was speaking about the results in the last couple of weeks, the sticky form that we've been on, you can tell they sort of take it. They take it to heart, and I think it's a good thing that they're aware of. You know, yes, we've come a long way since the summertime and the problems that we had last season, but to be sitting second and going through a sticky period, it's maybe only combined with the fact that Stenny's been on such a good run. Mm. But you can visibly see when he was speaking that he was quite disappointed with recent weeks how they'd gone, and you know, everybody had been slightly below par in their performance. He didn't shirk away from that. He said that things hadn't been quite as what they'd hoped in recent weeks, but they were hoping to turn the corner with the game as it was on Friday, being on the Saturday. He was hoping to turn it around tomorrow, and, you know, they did just that.
And he was keen to get across the sort of camaraderie that the squad has got. Yes, it's a fairly new squad in terms of, you know, about 10 or 11 new players have arrived in the summertime. But he was keen to sort of point out that he felt as though that it was a squad that was tightly knit. They all got on with each other quite well. And I think he said as well, at one point, you would actually think the squad had been together for a long time.
Well, we partly picked up slightly on that with the East Fife celebration. I remember we said last week about, you know, everybody, we got the equaliser right at the death, and everybody, including Stuart McKenzie's up celebrating. You've got Jason on the touchline as well. So it's not just the 11 that's playing, or the 14 or 16, whatever it come on. It's the whole team spirit that they've got, what they've built up over the summer. And, you know, I think getting business done nice and early is key to getting that team spirit that the club's got. And everybody's pulling in the right direction. I think the last couple of weeks, as we said, they have been a wee bit sticky. The players themselves have realised things have been slightly below par. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the context of where we're at in the season, how it's gone, kind of a bit too disappointed. But yeah, I always feel there's room for improvement. And I think that's maybe what Scott was hinting at. Although things have been great, they're looking to kick on with the next part of the season.
Yeah, and he was really good in coming on. And as we progress for the rest of the season, we will try and have more of these Friday Live episodes on as well. And again, if you got your questions for these guys on a Friday night, it's good to get them on, because obviously you guys will ask different questions as to maybe what we will as well. And the more you get involved, the absolute better it is for these guys that come on, and I'm sure they appreciate your questions as well. One bit of bad news that we got at the tail end of last week was the result of Jason Brown's scan on his ankle. It turns out he's absolutely ruptured his ligaments in his ankle and will be out for around 6 to 12 weeks, which is obviously quite a wide timescale for that kind of injury. Jason being Jason will obviously try and be back as quick as he can, but maybe that's the reason why he's going to be out for a wee bit longer this time instead of being out for a shorter space of time. But a huge blow to have him missing at this stage of the season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a 6 to 12 week injury, and Jason will be hoping he's back in 4, kind of the type of man that he is. He doesn't like letting his teammates down, and he's played through a few injuries this season, as we said as well. So yeah, he'll be looking to get back as soon as possible. But again, he was there on Saturday. He was on the dugout behind the stands as well, cheering the team on. So I say he's not missing, but you certainly do miss his experience at the back. We've got some really good players. Davey Wilson still come back. Scott Ross has stepped up brilliantly as well. Ryan Strachan there leading by example. So it's an area of the pitch that we're, I wouldn't say we're comfortable in, but we're fortunate that we've got some really good players. So you're hoping that will absorb part of the injury and the impact that we've got on it, then be out for up to 12 weeks. But yeah, knowing Jason, the type of man he is, he'll be wanting to get back sooner rather than later. But the type of injury it is, you've got to be cautious and they come back too soon.
Well, and that's the thing, and I think Jordan said that in the pre-match preview on Friday. He maybe perhaps felt that Jason coming back for the Elgin game was maybe 2 weeks too soon. And obviously Jason come off at half-time in that game, having, you know, damaged his ankles a wee bit more. So it maybe is going to be a lesson for him. Maybe it's a lesson for the management team as well, to maybe just be a little bit more firmer with the players and just say, look, we're going to keep you out for another extra week. That extra week maybe saves them a wee bit longer in the long term.
Possibly, yeah. Obviously, he came off against Elgin and he suffered injury the game against Dumbarton. So, yeah, maybe a week or two too soon. It would have been interesting to see what the physio recommendation was as well, whether he got the green light to play, or was it a case of the player was adamant he wanted to play and the management team have allowed it. But, yeah, Luke Kinnan, the type of man Jason is, he'll want to be back sooner rather than later. He's got to take it easy. He wouldn't like that. But, you know, Ryan and Jordan will need to say to him, look, you've got to take it easy, because if you do more damage to it could actually end the season, or worse, it could lead into next season with niggling injuries. So rather he was out for a couple more weeks this season than being out for potentially having problems next season.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and you sort of touched on it earlier on, but, you know, maybe what he did come back a wee bit quicker because we were short in bodies at that time. We've got the cover this time round, as you said, Scott and Ryan at centre-half, so on Saturday. Davey Wilson's obviously there as well, fully recovered or just about recovered for his concussion. Caleb's there as well, Jordan Armstrong's there as well, Danny Strachan, so we've got plenty of options at the back this time round rather than try to rush him back, because there's not really a need for it this time round.
No, and I guess I partly sort of sympathise with Ryan and Jordan why they tried to bring Jason back as quick as they did at the Elgin game. Form obviously at that point it hadn't been great for a few weeks. You can see why you want your captain back, your talisman at the back, and sort of helping things through. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. It didn't quite work out. He'll be missing for, you know, up to 12 weeks now, but we are, I would say we're comfortable in that area in terms of we've got bodies, we've got quality. And yeah, I don't think we need to rush him back. He just needs to take time and look after himself.
Yeah, you're looking a bit bigger than a match to end the match before he's back. So, I mean, that, you'd much rather him back for the tail end of the season just in case, rather than, you know, try to push himself too much and then, as you said, be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you don't want him to miss, you know, the majority of the season anyway. You don't want him being out any longer than he has to be. But there is that argument that if you take him back too soon, he could give him further complications next season after pre-season or whatnot, and that's something you really don't want to happen. So, yeah, a couple of extra weeks out just to be on the safe side wouldn't be a bad thing.
So he was missing for Saturday's game against Stenhouse Muir, the big game at the top of the table, with Stenhouse Muir on that fantastic run of wins that they were on. And we finally beat the streak. We were the ones to finally end our run. And they only just ending their winning run, but we've given them their first defeat since August in the league. So that was quite an achievement for us. 2-1 it was in the end. And I think thoroughly deserved 3 points for us. I don't think anybody could sort of disagree otherwise.
No, I don't think so. I think if you're looking at that game, even as a neutral, you'd say Peterhead probably deserved it. Looking on it, I don't think anybody, you know, fell below par either. It was a really good team performance. I think we were aided slightly with the wind in the second half, but then Stenny had that in the first half and didn't really do much with it either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the performance of the guys was really, really good. And it's not to be understated, obviously, the run that Stenny's been on, compiled with the fact that we'd have a bit of sticky form. I don't think many people would have anticipated we were winning that game either. I think folk outside the club would have been going, surely it's a Stenny win, or at worst, maybe a draw. So I don't think many people would have fancied this, but, you know, the spirit in the team and the fact that they've got a full week's train, they managed to train together this week as well, first time in a while. And yeah, you could tell that the spirits were high and thoroughly deserved the win.
As we said last week in our preview, we knew what the task was. We lost the game. That's a 19-point gap. You can pretty much say that's the title race over, done and dusted. But instead, we've cut it down to 13. And it might still be over, but it just makes them aware that we're nagging away just yet.
No, and three of Stenny's next five games are away from home. So again, if you're looking for small bits of light and where you can go, you sort of think, well, three away from home, depending on how they take this result, is this the start of them maybe in a slight sticky period themselves? Every team goes through it in a season. We've maybe come through ours. I think that'll give us massive confidence going down to Clyde on Saturday. I think overall performance was really, really good. And probably a result that came at the right time. You said 19 points, I think, is too much to claw back. It's now down to 13. Still a massive uphill task if you're going to win the league. But that was another 3 points towards securing a promotion playoff place. So two ways to look at it, and they're both positives.
Yeah, and the results elsewhere as well sort of went where we... a little bit as well. So, you know, apart from Dumbarton winning against up at Elgin. So, you know, maybe the tide is turning a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm hoping so, I should say. I certainly think that win will give us the confidence that we can beat anybody. I think confidence, you know, that was always in the camp anyway. They'd feel they can beat any team. But it's just that confidence to go and do it now. And yeah, hopefully kick on. We've got a couple of new recruits in through the door that we've spoken about. We've got Peter Pollitt, Flynn Duffy, Alfie Stewart coming in as well. So yeah, things are looking good again.
So there was just two changes for the previous game at East Fife. Caleb Goldie and Jordan Brown dropped out, and Andy McCarthy came back in again after his suspension, and Conor O'Keefe started, much to the delight of a lot of folks. A lot of folks said that he kind of turned the game against East Fife. And it was the second start for Peter Pollitt as well. He got 70 minutes doing East Fife. So I think we're starting to see his fitness, and I think we're starting to see his influence in the games a little bit as well. First 50 minutes, fantastic. We didn't concede a goal, which is you know, saying something considering we were playing the league leaders.
Yeah, and Scott mentioned it on the Friday as well that the team are fully aware that how they've started the game you know, it's starting to cause them a wee bit of a concern. They were very open about that, that they admitted it's something they need to look at, and they have been. They're trying to put things in place to fix it. So to come through the first 15 minutes naked conceding against the league leaders, again, it's a massive positive, and it's probably how you divide up a game. You try and get through the first 15, 20 minutes and get through it. They did that, and they were able to push on.
The biggest concern within that first 15 minutes for them scoring was actually Ryan Strachan almost tried to put the ball into his own net when the cross came in, and he's trying to chest it down to the keeper and then changed his mind halfway through, but it was a bit of a hairy moment.
I think he's been very clever in terms of he's been able to chest it down, but I don't know whether Stuart just didn't fancy it or Ryan was caught in two minds of the wind and he tried to clear it. Did it hit a post or just go past the post? I can't remember. Just went past it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of them, everybody sort of collectively went, ooh. It was one of them hair-raising moments. But yeah, thankfully we managed to get rid of it.
But we're on the front foot, which was, again, maybe a slight change to how things have been going recently. I know we're doing it. East Fife were probably the better side before we went behind. But we were creating opportunities. O'Keefe heavily involved. Had a shot, a volley wide. Shanks as well. Good play between him and O'Keefe at the edge of the 18-yard box and just didn't get the enough of a toe poke to get it past the keeper.
Yeah, we started the game really well. I think it was one of them games, if you sat back and allowed Stenny to come at you, they would eventually break you down and then you've got a massive uphill task as well. So I think the positive start that we made, they conceded and then building on it and trying to attack was a good thing. Like you said, I think Stenny would have brought you down eventually. But yeah, overall, the start was really good.
I did think that their almost their game plan was to, I wouldn't say be happy with a draw, but I think they sort of came up here not wanting to lose the game because they were, you know, quite early on, it was obvious that they were, you know, taking their time at goal kicks, free kicks, etc.
Yeah, I think maybe their game plan was come up here and they lose it, whereas your game plan was we're going to win. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to be happy with our draw. I don't know whether the conditions maybe played a slight part as well with the wind. They were maybe trying, you know, obviously it's a different 45 minutes for both teams playing with the wind and playing against it. Whether that made an impact to Stenny, I don't know. But I think our game plan was to go out there to win the game. And I think we were hungry. I think we wanted it more, whereas Stenny were quite happy with that draw. And I think you tend to find that fit. But if you play for a draw, you will struggle. We went out playing for a win. And yeah, we got the rewards of our positive play.
And that's maybe because they had such a big lead in the league, points-wise. Maybe they just think, well, just come up here, we're going to lose the game and we'll just keep it at bay sort of thing. Rather, different effort maybe being like more like a three-point gap or a six-point gap or something like that. They maybe thought, well, if we can increase this gap here, that'll be a good thing. Whereas I think maybe just that mindset or mentality of just come off of here and just keep them at bay.
Yeah, probably. They were probably, like I said, I think they would have been happy with a draw coming up here and keeping the gap at, you know, 16 points. But the fact that we got the win is down to 13, it might cause a wee bit of seeding, you know, doubt in their head. It's only January. There's never been a title won in January yet. So, yeah, it might just cause a little bit of doubt in their minds, but it's a massive result for us.
Danny Strachan dying to get a goal at Ballymore, and I don't think he's going to come much closer than this one. Sort of midway through the first half. Terrific work again. And I guess this just shows the attacking intent and threat that we have in this team. They're just sort of happy to stay out wide, play crosses into the box and play as a fullback. He was into that box near enough on the 6-yard line and he was picked up by O'Keefe and he's just dragged his shot wide.
Yeah, I think if he tried it again another 10 times, he'd probably score half of them. The fact that he didn't get it on target is probably the bit he's most disappointed with. I think he mentioned it in his post-match as well, that he feels he should have done better. It's one of them, he's a defender, he's not used to being in that sort of area of the pitch, is he? But again, that willingness and drive to get into the box, he's not quite happy just admiring any passes. He's played a pass, he's wanted to go and receive it. And yeah, you're just willing them to get a goal at Ballymore, are you?
He's getting closer, and that's the way he's going to get it. I mean, maybe last season he was a little hampered in terms of the players that was playing. He was playing with and was never getting these opportunities. But if he's going to carry on playing in that kind of positions and that kind of role, he will get his opportunities. And once he gets that first one, I think that'll be the sort of monkey off his back kind of thing, and he'll maybe go on and score a few more. He has obviously scored for Peterhead, obviously being away for him, but it's that one of wanting to score at Balmore.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll come. Hopefully it'll come this season. I'm sure he'll be dying to do it. But I just like that he's almost got that freedom at times where he's on that right-hand side, but he's got that luxury where he can come inside. We've now got the players that, you know, he can go further forward, and there's somebody willing to sort of cover his position at right-back, or maybe like Sir Joe McKee or Andy McCarthy can sort of cover that right-hand side whilst he's bombing forward. And, you know, a prime example on Saturday was that chance that he almost created for himself with the 1-2 and then tried to finish it. He just hasn't hit the target. I think if he hits the target, he probably does score. I think the keeper was properly set. And yeah, he's probably frustrated that he hasn't hit the target.
On the half-hour mark, Hamish Ritchie gets the opening goal with a header, Danny Strachan getting the cross in this time. With his left foot in it, a terrific cross to the back post. We were slightly hampered by the sun. We couldn't quite make out who it was for a start, but we eventually did see what it was, and it was a good header at the back post. I mean, he's got the hail of Balmore there. The marking was, from a steady point of view, was pretty poor, but great header for Hamish.
Yeah, really great assist as well. Danny Strachan on the left foot, and given the wind that we had as well, really pinpoint accuracy to get Hamish's head. Well, like we were saying, we're sort of hampered by the sun. I'd imagine Hamish Ritchie, because we're sort of directly behind him as well, he'd have been hampered by the sun, I'd assumed, when he's put that header back across. Keeper could maybe have done slightly better if you're being critical for their point of view. It wasn't exactly in the corner of the goals. But yeah, Hamish, great finish. He's watched it all the way, coming across quite easy. He put it past the post or over the bar, done really well, got the header on target. And that's all you can ask for in them situations, get the ball on target. And I think rightly so, went 1-0 up at that point.
I think the keeper's too busy waving his hand, looking for an offside like his, like his defence, and they sort of play to the whistle, as you say. But yeah, great finish for him, and that's exactly what we needed. We needed to go ahead, because as we've pointed out in recent weeks as well, going behind weren't great to try to get back into games.
Yeah, I think it's a positive also the fact that we went ahead, but I think if you were to go a goal down to Stenny and the way things have been for us in recent times, the heads might have dropped. But I think the fact that we got the goal, I'm probably took advantage of some good play that we'd had in the first half as well. I think the goal came at the right time, and we took advantage of it.
4 minutes later, though, typical fashion, we've gone and conceded a pretty, let's say, sloppy goal, but it's a fairly easy goal for Stenny. Just a corner to the back post, Buchanan with the header. Doesn't really need to do too much with it. Just get his head onto the ball and get it on target, and he scores. And you know, they're back into the game without really doing too much.
I think this is my only criticism really of Saturday, and that's now 2 weeks in a row we've conceded from a corner. Usually very, very good. Last week doing it East Fife as well, lost our man and he got in front and then they scored. And this one, towering fell at the back. He's gotten on it. Probably disappointing that it's come all the way to the back stick and we've never really dealt with it. And that's probably the disappointing thing, that it's two set pieces in 2 weeks. It's really undone us. And as you said, 4 minutes, I think it was, between the goals as well. Didn't really give us much time to capitalise on going 1-0 up, and we find ourselves at 1-1.
Yeah, and I mean, they're a big side, so they are a threat. Yeah. It's set pieces, corners and free kicks and things like that. That's maybe something that we'd done at, as you said, it's the second week in a row. Up until then, we've been dealing with corners pretty well. But I think if Ryan Luke watches it back, I think he'll be disappointed. He just doesn't get off the ground here.
It's maybe the flight of the ball as well with the wind. Obviously, being at pitch level, it's slightly more different. But whether it's caught it and he's just been wrong footed, or I don't know. I think it's always disappointing when you can see from a set piece. And given the height of the players that Stenny's got, maybe not a surprise that they did score from a corner, but nevertheless still disappointing to concede from a set piece.
Second half, it was pretty much one-way traffic, as you said. We'd now had the wind with us, and something I said to you at half-time is you want to see us getting a bit more, getting more shots off this time around, whereas the previous weeks where we've had the wind behind us, we haven't really sort of capitalised with the wind, but you felt as though that was going to be, the ball was going one way, and you could see Steny Keeper was getting frustrated with his kickouts as well. They were barely getting over the halfway line, and the frustration was building, and they couldn't get out their half for long periods of that second half.
No, and I think Kieran Shunts deserved a lot of praise for that as well. He never gave their defenders any peace in that second half with the wind. He was always on the shoulder of the last defender, even at goal kicks when the keeper maybe looked to try and play it short. Kieran sort of on both their centre backs, so they couldn't come for the ball. Mm-hmm. Or renew, if you give it to the centre backs, all they're going to do is lump it forward and it's just going to come straight back. So, yeah, the keeper's in a bit of a problem. I don't think the way we set up allowed them to play. And the keeper, as you said, he got more and more frustrated only 10 minutes into the second half, and the referee's telling them, look, you need to speed up your goal kicks. And yeah, visibly getting frustrated, but I think the way we set up and how high your defensive line and the rest of the team subsequently pushed forward, we didn't allow them to play anything.
And we were getting the ball wider a lot quicker as well, and that's maybe been a criticism from some sections of the sport in recent weeks, that we are not using the width quick enough. There's probably an argument that we still aren't using it enough, but it was more evident that a lot of the good play was coming down either side.
Yeah, I think at times we're maybe, or appears to be reluctant to go wide at certain times, but it's nice to mix it up. Sometimes you've got to go wide. And I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, it was maybe Andy McCarthy played a great ball across the face of goal by the fact that he was getting the ball wide, he drove in and played it across, but there was nobody there to sort of, you know, tap it in. It would have been a tap in for 4 or 5 yards had somebody gambled. So I think we do get rewards at times when we go wide. Sometimes we seem a wee bit reluctant, but on Saturday it was much better. Could maybe still improve in that sense, but taking none away from them, they were getting the ball wide and were trying to create chances.
I think that comes from the full-backs that we were playing on Saturday, you know, Flynn on the left and Danny on the right, two eager guys to get up and down that park as quickly as possible. Both of them were a threat going forward.
Yeah, their default setting appears to be that once we've got the ball, they're going to try and push up as high as they can. At times it was almost like playing with a back two. With just Scott and Ryan at the back, because Flynn and Danny pushed up so high up the pitch. And that's not a bad thing. When you've got the wind, you've got to utilise it, and it really did pin Steny back. They really struggled to get out. You could sense the frustration on their team as well, because even when they did try to play passes, it was getting stuck in the wind, and we were taking advantage of it, something they didn't do in the first half, but we were able to capitalise on it in the second.
And Richie's second goal, which was the winner, you mentioned McCarthy getting a cross in earlier on the right-hand side. It was a McCarthy cross from the left-hand side this time that produced the winner. Great ball across with his left foot, and Hamish with a calm and composed finish, because it was brilliant technique, because he's running onto it on his left foot. He's probably got a lot of time to think about what he's going to do, but he's managed to stroke it into the bottom corner.
Yeah, I mean, when we've seen the ball coming across, I thought he's destined to blaze this over. But the way the wind was, and, you know, if it takes a slight bobble, he's out of balance. But really, really good composure. And our best form in the season was when Hamish Ritchie was in form. You know, back in, you know, the tail end of quarter one in the season, he was really, really good, and everything good came through him. And that was the same on Saturday. All the good stuff was coming through him, mainly, not always, but mainly. And he was in the right place at the right time, a header at the back post, and then this one, you know, arriving slightly deeper from McCarthy getting forward. That's the advantage of what McCarthy's bombing forward, out wide, cutting inside and playing a really good ball across, being able to pick somebody out, and a really good finish by Hamish Ritchie.
McCarthy's obviously going to get the plaudits for the assist, but we've got to mention Kieran Shanks in the lead up to that as well. You know, holding up the ball on that touchline in the far side and on the left hand side, and being able to pick out McCarthy's run into the box for him to square it. And Shanks did that all day. Again, people will look at Shanks and say, "Well, he's going to score again," but the work rate and the effort that he puts in, and being able to sort of hold up the ball a lot more than he had been maybe previously. And I think, as Scott touched on Friday, maybe just suffering a little bit with a lack of confidence, but certainly seems to be getting better week by week again.
Strikers are naturally they're judged on their goals first of all, and then they're sort of compared with assists as well. And whilst Kieran maybe hasn't been in amongst the goals in the last couple of weeks, his work rate, his determination, and his team effort. You know, a prime example last week doing at East Fife, his first thought, or what appears to be his first thought, is to play the ball square to Scott Ross, who's in a better position rather than what he was, for he could easily have blasted it across. He's getting in the right areas, it's just not quite falling for him. Even when he was put wide left on Saturday when Rory came on, still showing that eagerness and hunger to, you know, try and push defenders back. He's getting clattered left, right and centre. He just gets up with it, he gets on with it. And yeah, although he's maybe not scoring, he's in a power of work for the team, and, you know, that cannot be underestimated.
And McCarthy, as I said, will get the assist, but I felt his first half performance was a bit below par. Sort of maybe holding on to the ball a lot longer than he needed to, a few misplaced passes, getting picked off. But second half, he was like a different player.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's maybe just with that one game missing shouldn't really make that big a difference. But yeah, maybe slightly below par, but his second half performance, I think everybody in the team second half sort of seemed to step up a gear. They all knew the importance and the magnitude of trying to get a win, and we really did push for that winner, and thankfully we got it.
And there was an incident towards the end of the game which wasn't picked up on the Stenhouse Muir highlights, it has to be said, involving Kieran Shanks. I think there's no doubt that Shanks deserved his yellow card for his late tackle on Buchanan, I think it was. However, Ross Meacham coming across and putting his hands on Shanks, throwing him to the deck, or pushing him to the deck, I should say, probably deserve slightly more than the yellow card that he received.
I think going by the rules these days, it should have been a red card. I'm not sure whether the assistant referee on the dugout side or whether the referee has seen something that warrants it only being a yellow, I don't know. If the linesman on the far side has got a similar sort of view that what we do, you would question why it's not a red, but it was only a yellow that was given. I don't think the referee had great control throughout the game, but that takes none away from the performance that we had. I'm not going to speak about the referee because I thought we were really, really good on Saturday, and yeah, we should be praising the players for the power of work that they put in. They got the right result, whilst some of the ref's decisions weren't great. I think he was poor equally for both sides.
Yeah, he I think you said it for the sort of almost for the first whistle, he lacked the control, and I think what was the start of it was we'd won a throw in early on in the first half, and one of their players had, you know, blatantly kicked the ball a good 3-5 seconds after the whistle had gone, so plenty of time for him to hear what was going on, and he let it go.
Yeah, and he sort of set a precedent for the rest of the game. Obviously, if you did it for one, you kind of do it for the rest of them that might do it. Look, like I said, I don't keep much control of the game throughout, and players probably picked up on it. Thankfully, it was a clash at the top of the table that wasn't ruined by the referee. It was a really good game, and thankfully, we've come out on top with the 3 points.
It was another 80 minutes for Peter Pollitt in his quest for full match fitness, and going with the 70 minutes that he got the previous week as well. So, as I said, we're starting to see him build his match fitness after being out for so long without any game time. What's been your impressions of him so far in the three games that we've had him?
I think he's getting better as his game goes by. As I said, his match fitness is increasing. He appears to be getting longer with every game that goes by, which is a good thing. I think if you get a player that was at Aberdeen, Dundee United, then you've got a cracking signing on our hands. It's just trying to keep him fit. I think he's a very clever player. He gets in between the lines of midfield and defence. He can take the ball. He's got a low centre of gravity, which means he can easily get past a couple of players, and, you know, that could be a difference of driving himself apart 20, 30 yards. So, very clever player. I think guys running about him, likes of Conor O'Keefe, Hamish Ritchie and Kieran Shanks, will learn a lot from him. I think overall so far he's put in a really good shift over the last 3 weeks.
It's four games. I mean, I'll correct myself because it's four games is new. But yeah, I think we're, without seeing anything brilliant for him, I don't think we're seeing anything it's to say that he's a bad player. I just think he'll take time to to perhaps see the player that we sort of know of him from the past. But there are flashes that there is a player still there.
That's probably a positive as well. The fact he hasn't played so much football in such a long time, and you know he's come into a team, and you wouldn't say he's well below par or anything. I think that, you know, he's obviously been picked up at a time in his career where injuries have sort of plagued him in recent years, and he's wanting just to get back to playing football. And I think we will get a player. It's an 18-month contract. I think we'll probably see the best of him towards the end of this season. And if he can keep himself, you know, injury-free and has a good pre-season, then I think we've got a really, really top player in our hands for next season.
Okay, let's get some of your thoughts. As you can imagine, there's plenty of positivity on the go again. We'll start with this one for Gary Shanks specifically because he's put on. I'm sure I told you before kick off it was a result was coming in, and I would say as well to Gary, if you didn't put your lottery on Saturday, you must be a fool.
He did say before he could feel a result coming, so yeah, thankfully he was right with that one.
Although he didn't say why the result was going to go. He just said, I think there's a result here. I'm assuming he meant for Peter Heath.
He'd assume it was for us, like, yeah, you'd assume.
David Stormuth, best game of the season so far, 2 magic goals. Stenny, very powerful side. Doubt if they will drop enough points for Peter Heath to catch them, but you never know. Ethan Stewart, Flynn Duffy played the game of his life today, an absolute joy to watch. Thought Shanks fought for everything today. Exactly what we want to see from us, Hamish Ritchie. Sign a lifetime contract, please. Richard Fraser, the whole team played well today, but outstanding were Shanks, Duffy and Ritchie. Andrew Milne, fantastic results spot by a very poor referee who bottled 2 big decisions on sending offs. Thought the boys needed to play the wide men more as Stenny struggled with the balls into the box. Hamish with 2 great goals. Frank Kelly, Scott Ross was excellent. He's really come back as a different player than the one that left. Sean Weedy, brilliant performance. Hamish back to his best and Shanks was class. Every player on fire the day, well done. George Corrander, what a team we have when we can keep the ball on the deck. Link up play and movement were first class. Thought the balls into Hamish for both goals were class with great finishes from him. Great team performance and shows we're a match for anyone in the league. Credit to Ryan Jordan. I was not sure if anyone saw that one coming. George Buchan, great win today to silence the Stenny fans. Great finishes by Hamish and a poor goal to lose. I thought Scott Ross and Flynn Duffy were excellent. The league isn't over yet. And maybe a slightly... premature shouts of championes for the Stenny fans at the beginning of the game.
Aye, what was it? Stand up for the champions.
Aye,
or
that's
something.
The one. Yeah, yeah.
See the champions. Yeah. Whether the players heard that and it gave them that little bit of a G up as well, you don't know. But maybe slightly premature. But what I just mentioned are the comments that you've read out there. The difference in, you know, fans. How they see a game, Scott Ross being singled out for praise, Flynn Duffy, Hamish Ritchie, Kieran Shanks. And that's probably what's been missing the last couple of weeks. It's maybe just been one player that's played okay, whereas Saturday all seemed to come together at the same time. Everybody put in a really good performance, and I think that's why we really did deserve the win that we got.
Yeah, just got a couple more. Graham McLean, we're more than capable of those performances more often. Everyone in blue plus the one in yellow put in a shift. Surprised both teams finished with a full complement as referee bottled a couple of decisions. Tackles going unpunished with lesser ones getting carded. Danny's one was especially hard done by. And Jason Argo, who was delighted to be back in his usual seat again after a couple of weeks of maybe getting into his seat. He said a good win against a tough opponent. I thought Flynn Duffy played well. Flynn getting obviously a lot of praise. And I genuinely think, obviously, we knew how good Flynn was when he was here the first time round, but that's, you know, almost more than 2 years ago now. I think he's actually a better player now, and that is probably a fairly obvious thing to say, given that he's, you know, 2 years older and played a lot more football. But he hasn't been playing he hasn't played at all for Dundee United in that time, and only had half a season at Stirling Albion at this stage last season. So in terms of how much football he's been getting, he hasn't been getting an awful lot, and he's a terrific player. Baffling as to why Dundee United did a fancy him.
Yeah, Yeah, it is strange why he's not been playing for Dundee United. I think when we first said him, you could maybe question his position at times. Sometimes he seemed to be caught under the ball and chasing it. Whereas Saturday, a prime example, I was in the right place. Mm. I was at the right time. Always showing for it, always making an option. Wasn't just quite happy hugging the touchline, looking for the pass. He was dropping deeper when he had to, going forward and going longer when he had to as well. So I think that's probably the maturity in his game is really coming through now. And yeah, how Dundee United done a fancy him and we've ended up with him. Yeah, I'll take that every day of the week. He's got a really, really cracking signing.
I would like to think that Ryan and Jordan are already in his ear about a pre-contract for next season. Because he's got a contract in the summer, so you would like to think they've at least started those discussions.
I'd imagine Flynn's getting invited to their golf Sundays just in case we need to tap him up for a contract. But yeah, hey, if we manage to get him, I don't know how close we would be to getting him or wages, whatever. But you know, if you said that Flynn Duffy is going to be here next season, I think it would be a cracking signing.
Yeah. He's obviously maturing quite well and improving as a player. There was another debut on Saturday. The Ultras stand was opened and has been officially called the Rec, with a nod to the old stadium, the Recreation Park, for the before it was before we moved to Balmoor. I was really impressed with the way it looked. And I think it looked even better in the pictures as well. Terrific work by everybody to get that looking the way it is as well. Because I guess it would have been easy for them just to kind of get a container and just like there you go, away you go kind of thing. But they've made it look really good.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's really good. The paintwork as well inside it, a nod to local boy Danny Strachan, and you've also got top goal scorer, all-time scorer with Rory McAllister mm-hmm. in it as well, their photos was taken before. And it was good. I think, was it 2 weeks ago or maybe the last home game, we sort of mentioned that obviously the fans have been in the stand and you just seen it, maybe the numbers going down and you just wondered whether, you know, the novelty had worn off, but it was packed on Saturday. Mm. It was really, really good. And they made a good bit of noise as well. That it wasn't just one or two songs that were constant throughout. And yeah, a really nice touch by the players at the end as well. They all went over and was sort of great for all the support they'd gotten for the youngsters as well. So yeah, a really, really good addition to the stand.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on something like that because they should be doing that anyway. Not just because there's the youngins in the corner. They should have been come across to the East End anyway. If the results, particularly after the Rugby fight, but I'm maybe just been way picky there.
I think they do, once they're sort of shaking hands with the ref, they do make a nod towards the staff, but it was very evident and visible that they were going towards the youngsters.
Yes.
And, you know, that'll be the thing that the guys have had a good day with their new stand and the Rec. They've got the victory. The players have come over and acknowledged their support as well. And, you know, that could be the difference between a fan coming back and they liking it. I think also they got good weather for it. It wasn't a lashing of rain in their container as well. How that's going to be in pouring rain, I don't know. But, yeah, I think overall it was really good. And, you know, by the feedback that I've just heard in the tune over the weekend and at work today, it's been well received by everyone as well. So, yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. As you said, it's that little gesture for the players that, you know, they'll probably, they've enjoyed their day anyway, but they're probably going to hear him even more thrilled that the players have they've come across and they've acknowledged it and probably kind of wait to get back again.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, obviously they've got a song for Rory McAllister and obviously he's come over towards the end and he's applauding it, and that's the difference between a fan enjoying their day and a fan really enjoying it and wanting to go back the next week. So yeah, we got the result. Everything on Saturday worked out in your favour and long may it continue.
Yeah, big well done to General Manager Sharon Brown for organising that, and along with Mandy as well for their hard work for doing that. And it's obviously well acknowledged as well that they kind of do it themselves, and it's a lot of this community spirit gets involved with it as well. A lot of the businesses and local people get involved, and that's what it's all about. Everybody sort of chipping in to get these kind of things over the line.
Yeah, they've done a power of work behind the scenes, also trying to get the funding for it, and then trying to organise a container to be ready for the end of January over Christmas time, with companies being closed and everything, and getting all the detail they want, and also making it safe as well. That's vitally important to get pushed through as well. So yeah, really good work by everyone.
So we are just a few days away for the end of January, as we said at the top of the show. January window closes on a Wednesday. So all the business will be done. Obviously, loan signings can still happen until the end of February. It looks like it's going to be any more business coming in the window, but you just never know. So far, we've had two out, one on loan. Blessing's obviously going to Inverurie Rocos, and Aaron Reid's going back to Aberdeen, and then subsequently been loaned back to for Martin. And then in has been Peter Pollock, as we mentioned, Flynn Duffy and Alfie Stewart. So all in all, I think business has been pretty much as you'd expect. I think there's a lot of talk of maybe beginning of January, where we had players missing through injuries and illnesses and things like that we needed more players to come in. However, Ryan and Jordan, having this sort of going for knee-jerk signings, they've been pretty adamant that the signings that are coming in have to be coming in for a reason, and they have to be the right players.
Yeah, and that shows really good maturity. Obviously, they're first gig at this. They've been quite easy to get to January and sort of press the panic buttons and go, oh, we need new signings in. They didn't panic in the summer with the window there either. They were very meticulous. It had to be a certain type of player, a certain traits and characteristics, and they've sort of done the same again this window. Whether there's more to come in remains to be seen. I wouldn't be opposed to maybe a loan signing coming in for a striker, just to give Rory and Kieran a wee bit of help. Again, you've got Paula and you've got Conor O'Keefe that can play up there, but maybe another striker, even if it was on loan for a couple of months, wouldn't be the worst thing. But as you said, Ryan and Jordan will only take in players if it suits the style of play. You know, they'll fit in well with the squad, and it wouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction.
And obviously, we sort of look towards next season as well, and the players that are out of contract, it's at the club, not obviously the loan signings, but we've only got three, which is, again, a vast difference to what we've been used to over the years. You know, a lot of this time of the year, we're sort of looking at and going, well, we've got about 15 players out of contract, and when do they start getting their contracts offered to? But only Conor Duffy, Sandy Wood and Hamish Ritchie are out of contract in the summer. We've got 19 players, you know, that are signed up for next season already.
Oh yeah, it's a vast difference to what we've been used to in the last couple of years, with such a high turnover of players coming through the door. As you said, there's so many tied up to a contract next season, which must give Ryan and Jordan massive confidence and almost a lot of relaxation over the summer, that a lot of the good work's already been done this summer that's just gone. I think Conor Duffy will almost be guaranteed to get a new contract, because obviously they signed him, he's played one game in the league and obviously suffered that really bad injury down at East Fife. So I think he'll be getting a new deal. You hope that Hamish Ritchie is going to be sticking around. You really do, obviously. That's totally in his, you know, the ball's in his court as to what he wants to do. I think he's a terrific player. Really, really want to stay. Hopefully he can. And then you've got, obviously, Sandy Woods, your backup, sort of keeper and coach. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see with the D, but a lot of the good work that they've done was done last summer. So, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and with even if, say, Sandy goes, even if we do lose Hamish, we've got a base there to work with already. And then you're maybe only looking to maybe bring in four or five new players in the summer.
I don't think there'll be a massive overhaul in the summer like we have had the last three, four seasons. I think we've got the core of a squad through. Obviously, it's 19 players, but you get the general idea. It's sort of a settled squad. I think the fact that there's only three loan signings as well sort of gives you the idea of what Ryan and Jordan's trying to do. They're trying to get away from loans. They will use it when they need to, but they're not heavily relying on it, which we maybe have been in previous seasons, and it's sort of come back to bite us over the summer. Look at when we played Aberdeen a couple of years ago, we'd only keep a register on a Friday, and we'd only basically 12 players that was able to play. It was a disastrous situation, but totally different now under the new management duo. And yeah, I think we'll kick on next season again with new players coming in.
Yeah, so let's get on to set of this game then. Clyde away, big game, as most of them will be between now and the end of the season. Having gotten the win against Steny on Saturday and cut that gap, we must sort of go down there and kick on as well. The last thing we want to do is to, having beaten Steny, is to then go and lose the next game. We want to try and start getting a run going here as well.
There's no point in beating Steny and then they beating it by flying, they following up and beating Clyde, so I undesire hard work. You've now got into a situation where it, I say it's only 13 points, but it can be done, but you've got to go and beat Clyde away from home. And Clyde was the team that sort of started with sticky form, so it'd be nice to get one. You know, there's a bit of a rivalry anyway, so it'd be another thing just to say, right, you sort of started were poor form that went in December, so it would be nice to turn them over at their home patch as well, or sort of Hamilton's pitch as they play at. So yeah, be a good one. I think it's probably the right sort of team to play in terms of Clyde are just starting to kick on a wee bit. They're starting to get, performances are getting better. They're maybe not quite getting the results. And then I think we're going to go down there and they're going to sit back and just wait for us to try and break and do. And I think they are going to come out. It's a home game for them. They need to be picking up points. So it's probably a good game for us to be playing as well.
The fact that we didn't have a game the following week as well makes it even more key that we go and get a result here, because the last thing you want to do is, having beaten Steny, as I said, then go and lose this game, because then you've got 2 weeks to think about it.
Yeah, you'd have 2 weeks to sort of stew in it and then realise, obviously, if Steny did win, then the gap's back to 16, your hard work's been almost for nothing. So yeah, really important that we go down there with the right mindset and get the 3 points and almost enjoy that 2 week break that they've got without a game. But you'll only enjoy it if you get 6 points for Steny and Clyde.
Yeah, and Steny do play next week, because obviously we didn't play because of Bonnie Rigg's involvement in the Scottish Cup. So, you know, they'll be looking at it and going, well, that's a chance to then, you know, try and increase that gap again. So we need to try and stick with them as much as possible. Steny played Dumbarton on Saturday, and then they're away from home to East Fife to play the following week.
Yeah, and Dumbarton and East Fife aren't the teams that you'd look at and go, yeah, that they're nailed on to win. I mean, obviously, they've been in a great run. They had to come to an end at some point. But it's probably two teams that you'd look at and you'd think that they could both get something out of Steny. So it's not quite over just yet. We're in a great position in terms of the promotion playoffs, sitting in second. Really good points total so far. Just the fact that Steny's been on such a good run, it's thankfully come to an end, but we now need to capitalise and try and close that gap as much as we can.
I think Andy McCarthy could be suspended again for having picked up his yellow card late on Saturday, so obviously he'll be missing. There is, if you look at the bench, plenty of players that could come in. If Rory McAllister is fit again, you would think he would come in as well, and we switch for the 4-2-3-1 to the 4-4-2.
Probably, yeah. Frustrating that Andy's going to be suspended again, but that's just the way he plays the game. He's always played it on the edge, and as a result, he does get quite a lot of yellows. Hopefully, Rory's a lot fitter than what he was. And I say a lot fitter. Hopefully, he's fitter than he was. And Saturday wasn't quite out, but he did come on. And yeah, get a partner up there with Kieran. Hopefully, they can work together and try and get the win.
And they've changed their manager as well. Ian McCall had just sort of come in at the last time we played them up here. He's had 10 games now, and Charles won just 2-1 in the cup and 1 in the league, 4 losses, 4 draws. 8 games in the league, 3 losses, 4 draws and 1 win. A lot of turnover in players as well they've had in this window, and a lot of players leaving the club. The results maybe haven't been coming, but I think going by what we can gather from Clyde supporters is that the performances are slightly better.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The performances have improved. I think a couple of them draws, they feel that they should have won. And I think there's one of them, they felt they really should have won the game, but they were unlucky and they to do so. So I think it's, you know, you can look at the league table and go, yeah, they're really struggling, should go down there with ease and win the game. That's not the case. I don't think it will be the case. Their performances have improved, but then I got the results, and that's only going to wash so long before they need to start turning them draws into wins. But hopefully that doesn't start on Saturday. Hopefully we can do in there and get the 3 points.
Yeah, and we won down there earlier on in the season as well. We won the game up here as well. So, again, there's no reason why we can't go down there with the mentality of trying to win, because you know, the confidence seems to be there again.
Yeah, we've just beaten the team at the top of the table at home, and really convincingly. Maybe could have scored more than Saturday as well, if we're being picky. But
the
confidence up there, we've just beaten the team top of the table. And boys are coming back for injuries, apart from the long terms, like Kieran Gibbons and Duffy and Jason Brown being out to fully fit squad. Andy will be suspended, obviously, I think. So, yeah, things are looking good again, but you just got to keep churning out the wins, and hopefully we get another one on Saturday.
And what might be key as well is that they play Elgin away from home on Tuesday night. So, you know, depending how they get through that, they could be, having played Spartans on Saturday, a tough game against them, then go up to Elgin on the Tuesday night, and then they play us on Saturday. That's not a run of games that they would fancy.
No, and depending on what the result is as well, Elgin could have massive bearings as well, because if they lose that, again, they've lost mare ground. So, yeah, and as we've seen recently, it's very difficult when you're part-time, you're playing three games in a week. It does take its toll. But hopefully the fact that we've got a clear week this week, we can take fully advantage of it on Saturday.
Okay, now joining me to discuss Saturday's game against Clyde is an old friend of the show, Paul Shanks. Paul, welcome back again. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I think we said it last time. I'm now a regular slot. It's Shanks' corner, is it not? No, it's good to be back on. And hopefully, we can talk about Clyde in a slightly more positive tone than I have done in recent times.
I was going to say, you must be, since the last time we spoke anyway, a little bit more optimistic of how things have been going. Maybe the results haven't been coming, but I get the impression that performances have been better.
The difference in the club, particularly in the last, say, 4 or 5 weeks, has been remarkable, I would say, in certain aspects. The difference in not just the performance levels, but I think the confidence levels of the players that were already at the club, but the additions that Ian and Neil Scarlett have made have been, very, very, very good so far. And, hopefully it's some more to come. But the additions that we've made aren't just good players. They're very good League One players, in my opinion. So the whole kind of feel about the club, despite still being Club 42 in a big game, even ahead of this Saturday for ourselves tomorrow night, the whole outlook at the club just now is very, very positive. And that sounds bizarre, because I think before we spoke back, you know, mid-December, early December when it was, it was just, we weren't even then, just we were kind of feeling like we're hanging on by our fingertips, just for some type of optimism. But since the start of December, we've only lost twice. And that was to ourselves and to Stenning, so the top two in the league. And the one narrow games, I'm not going to sit here and say that in either of those games that we didn't deserve to lose, because over the piece we did, yourself and Stenning's qualities kind of shone through, and that's just we deserve to lose those games. But in other games, I can think of three in particular, three of the games that we've drawn, we shouldn't have drawn, we should have won. And we left these games feeling bitterly disappointed. In particular, the game on Saturday, we gave Spartans an absolute boon for most of that match. And it was just the kind of inability to get that second goal. We're still maybe lacking that wee bit in the final third. But we dropped Allen in once he now gets up to speed. Didn't take him long to get his first goal back for the club. Guys that came up, he knows where the net is. You give him half a chance, he's going to put it in. Mark Rennie, who, despite being up front for the worst team in Scotland this season, is bagging only a goal like every two games, so he's got a pretty decent record as well. But defensively, things are looking up as well. Guys like Craig Howie, who been at the club before in League One, played for Alloa in League One as well, done well with them. But we haven't, I think, is potentially the signing of the season for our football club. I think it's a class act at the back already. The difference he has made to our back line is remarkable. And I know that's mad because we're still conceding. But the goals we're conceding now aren't these omni-shambles. I almost used a different word there, but I don't remember. I wrote the club, an omni-shambles of errors at times. Now there's maybe been a degree of bad luck behind them, and you just go, you know, there's not much you can do about that, rather than just gifting it goals for fun. So yeah, the outlook's positive, but football's a damn funny game, as you know, Colin, and in the space of the next few days, things could look pretty bleak again. Or we could be going, do you know what, we're off bottom, and now we can start looking at us.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, you play Elgin on the Tuesday night before, you play us on the Saturday. We're sort of one eye on that as well. Is that going to be a key game for you going forward?
It's a cliche, but it's a six-pointer. but I'm, the way I'm looking at it is because everything's so tight, and I include up to fifth place in that. We're only 9 points off a fifth with 16 games left. Yeah, I'm maybe getting a bit ahead of myself, but football's a mad, mad game. Last season, Dumbarton had won the league in January, and then they dropped out of the top four come May. And these things, it just takes a couple of games in a row. Look at Elgin, probably case in point. They won, I think, three games home in space in a week, and all of a sudden they were running away from us. I mean, Elgin have got the third best home record in week two, and they're ninth. So it shows you that, that this league is just so mad. The only team that's found any consistency is any, obviously, it goes without saying until obviously you guys came along and popped up. So yeah, it doesn't take much to get yourself going in this league. But what my hope is tomorrow night is that there's just no damage done to that gap. If Elgin were to win, does it change it? Not massively so, because we're still only a further point behind ninth, in the sense that that would then throw, I'm trying to remember who's eighth now.
Fourfer,
yeah. So it would then, Fourfer become ninth place and next on the hit list, so to speak. They've had a fairly unremarkable season, to say the least. So, yeah, I think going into Saturday, not to be worse off, best case scenario for me, we get 4 points for the two games, but best case scenario was six. But I would take four right now. If you gave me 4 points over these two games, I'd take it.
And did the cup game against Aberdeen, was that a distraction, perhaps, or was that a welcome one? Because I watched the game, like I think most folk did, and for large spells, but you were in it. In fact, probably could have taken the lead had they hit the post.
Yeah, it was a team of two left repeat shots at goal. One young Connor Young, a couple of inches to the right, and it's flicking in off the post. Then at the other end, Big Miovski's potentially Euros bound out of North Macedonia if they make the way through the playoffs. Just shows a touch of class to put it around. I think it was Big Eric Sula at the back. That's just the difference. And if we'd maybe kept in that at half time, 0-0, Aberdeen faithful may have just started getting edgy again. But I did a pod with retinted glasses, an Aberdeen based pod, and I brought Davil up every 5 minutes. So I sat and thought it was the Celtic game, but no, I had to just keep planting that seed, don't let it go away. But yeah, the truth is, we didn't really do enough to truly frighten them. But as far as it being a distraction, on one hand, I would say yes, but also no, because we were looking to really try and build a bit of momentum at that point. If I could come back the clock, I probably would have taken getting put out by Musselburgh back at the time. If it meant that we were playing Forfar that weekend, which it would have been at home, given that we would be playing, I would have more than fancied this to beat them. probably beat him quite comfortably, and that's kind of mad. I know obviously they win the cup as well, but just so obviously there's a monetary side of it. It's an extra wee kind of financial boost for the TV game and a kind of larger crowd. I think it was good for the players. It was good for the players that have been there, and this is the kind of mad thing. We lost two of the players through being cut tied, Robbie Leach and Lee Hamilton. And Craig Howe was able to play score. Having to bring in the guys who, quite frank, have got us into this mess in the first place.
Mm.
And that was said by somebody from the club who remain nameless. And he said it's kind of funny when you look at it that way, that they'll be the ones getting the big reward. And I was like, well, yeah, it's a fair point, but it's a chance for them to show Ian that they're worth of a look at over the next few months and against all class opposition from this country. So yeah, it was a good occasion for the club. I don't think we disgraced ourselves. We weren't embarrassed, certainly, by the scoreline. And yeah, no damage done really to any kind of fragile confidences. If I were going 1-4 or 5-0, would anybody have done that? I said, look at him, well, that's a bit surprising. Not really, no. Is the wage budget structure will be 10 times, 15 times what it would bear us? That's just counting.
You sort of touched on it earlier on, but a lot of dealings so far in the January window, a lot of players have gone, a lot of players have come in. What have you made of the business that's been made by Ian McCall, and do you think it was necessary business?
100% necessary. The business incoming has been impressive, I think, highly, highly impressive. We have benefited on this. It's not scut around the issue of Edinburgh City. We have benefited from that big time and getting two players of the quality of Robbie Leach and Lee Hamilton, who I think would be an asset for any League Two club. Genuinely do believe that. So to get them and convince them to come to Club 42, as we've been nicknamed quite a lot of late, it's a bit of a coup, it really is. And I think Kay Cowie as well, he's played a lot of his more recent career in League One. He did go abroad for a while and he's been out of the game for a wee bit, but he's just slotted in and he loses class at the back as well. And Robbie Leach played for a lot of very, very good clubs, Cole, Falkirk, etc. Done very, very well for them over the board as well. So yeah, there's a lot to like of what Ian and Alan Maitland have been doing in the recruitment side of things. There's a lot of work ongoing. We have also, sorry, just announced just ahead of the game and out of there, the loan signing of Chris McGinn from Aki's. Unreliably informed he's not the fourth brother. It's just a coincidence. I was slightly disappointed at the same time. But yeah, so we've not had a chance to see Chris yet. Tonight will be his first training session with the boys. So highly, highly rated. Hamilton, I think he's already played 20-plus first-team games. He has only 18 as well. And if he's anything like what Hamilton can produce through the youth academy in the past, we should hopefully go on a winner on that front. And stay tuned. There should be more, hopefully, getting announced as I'm on this podcast.
2-1 to Peterhead in both games so far this season. What are you... I'll stick that one in. What are you expecting there for set of this game? Another tight one?
I think it will be tight, but I honestly think that any Peterhead fan that's seen us in our first two games will not recognise the team for what it is now. There'll be this, some names that will have been there from the two games, but it's a very different club now. I'm trying my best to scare you here, but it's a very different club. The style of football, the intensity, and the emphasis on that, the intensity of how we hunt the ball down now, getting guys like Ray Grant back into the middle of the park, that as well has been huge for us. So we're in a better position to compete with you Whereas if this game was still, say, back middle of December, early December, probably a couple will be ahead, but the home or away. But I think we can give you a bit of a bloody nose. I genuinely believe that this time. Obviously, though, our hoodoo against yourselves is always that wee niggle. But yeah, it's hard to say. If we were to win tomorrow night, I'd be reasonably happy with a draw from the weekend. If something was to go wrong tomorrow night, I think we need to go all out on Saturday, and I think we're capable of doing it. Then we need to, if we come out of the traps that we did when we played Bonnie Rigg at home, I don't think any team would have actually stopped us that day. Perhaps any, just because of how stingy they are at the back. But at half time, we were sitting going, we should be 6 or 7 up.
Mm.
We were 3 up at the time. We were looking at it going, dear God, we should be double that. And it wouldn't have flattered us. Of course, being Clyde, we've only just go over the line because we gave a goal with 30 minutes to go and things start getting nervy. We will need to outscore you. I would love to say that Clyde are going to keep a clean sheet. We'd be our second in the league this season. And as much as the defence has improved, I think certainly your strike force is more than capable and your midfield more than capable of cutting apart any team in this league. So I would expect goals. If I was a bet man, I would say over 2.5 at least. And I just hope that we are the one that just got one more than you for 90 minutes.
And it would be nice for us to try and keep 10 men in the park as well, because we've managed to get both our forward players sent off in both the games.
Yeah, but you still saw it, so...
Yeah, and that's it. I genuinely think both teams are leaking goals, so there probably will be goals. We've both said it's got to be goals, so, you know, it can only be a stick on 0-0 now, isn't it?
There's bound to happen one time. Quite 0-0s, I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship. We just don't do them.
Yeah.
And for this season is our only 0-0 off the top of my head. And that was about as 0-0 a match that I've seen.
Mm.
I'd rather go into my retinas and rewatch that game, quite frankly. It was horrid. But there's signs, I think, that the defence could keep a clean sheet, but I just think this weekend's going to be, given, as I say, the firepower, if Ian Shanks was to have a cold come Friday night, I wouldn't be gutted, quite frankly. And our big pal Rory as well, if he was just to, you know, stub his toe, getting on the bus, something like that. I don't wish them out health, but just a few days of
it. You think it would be one of those voodoo dolls or anything of you?
Nah, no comment.
On that note then, Paul, we will bid you good luck for the remainder of the season, and we will obviously catch up again later on, no doubt.
Cheers.
That's it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Paul Shanks for joining me to preview the Clyde game, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.